Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. I am Stu Whiffin. Joining me as ever, Christopher William Glasson.
Yeah, that's my name. That's my name, bitch. That's why I get you to scream. Welcome to we should be so rude. This is the clean less blue version of Hardcore Listing.
You thought it was a Patreon one, then, didn't you?
It was a Patreon one. Hello everyone. Well, I hope you're all doing well.
Hiya.
This is the Acast version of Hardcore Listing, where we run down a top five. Me and Stu will pick a top five. Sometimes one of our listeners picks it, or our worshippers. Sometimes we'll come up with the idea, or maybe our significant others, and we'll dive into it and we'll have a good old chat, and at the end we'll agree on what the top five greatest whatevers it is that we discuss.
Absolutely. And as Chris alluded to there, these are the more kind of structured, maybe more, I can't use the word professional, more structured top fives. Every Wednesday we release another episode on Patreon, which is just a ridiculous mess. If you'd like to hear that ridiculous mess and get access to another couple of hundred episodes of ridiculous mess and some radio shows and some video, all the video episodes are up on Patreon as well. You can watch these chats. You can watch the chat that you're listening to right now, as well as the Wednesday Patreon episode. All the videos go up over there. You can also get access to the videos that Squibbies Pip Let's Have Some Drunk Cast videos, so you can watch me, Chris, Brett Goldstein of Ted Lasso, and Ramesh Ranganathan and Pippikins do a drunk cast, which is hilarious. Still one of the funniest moments in the history of this podcast. I won't say anything. Go check that out. But yeah, you can find out about that at hardcorelisting.com.
Patreon.com/hardcorelisting.
Go to Patreon, patreon.com/hardcorelisting.
Lovely stuff, right, mate. Oh, let's not go any further. Before we do anything else,
Sponsors. Bang Boom Creative.com. That's where you need to go for the very best in film and photography work.
Yes, yes. Luke and his team over at Bang Boom have been proud sponsors of ours for a few years now, and we can tell you two things about them.
One, their stuff is bloody excellent. They've produced content for the smallest charities to the biggest commercial brands, and it's always bang on.
Yeah, it works. We've seen Luke deliver an epic cinema advert for Pip, amazing photo shoots for the Two Girls One Shot podcast, made the girls look incredible, and of course he's done loads of great stuff for us. Great visuals, loads on Instagram. The one he did of me as an Ewok was proper good.
And secondly, well, they're just bloody nice people, lovely to work with. Lots of companies can kind of take pictures and film something, but not everyone can do it with the sort of passion and just ruddy kindness that sets Luke and Bang Boom apart from all the others.
So if you need some great visuals from a truly excellent company, please go check out bangboomcreative.com, proud sponsors of the Hardcore Listing Podcast. The world can seem like a strange and sometimes dangerous place, but with Summit Academy helping you with your martial arts training, you'll always feel safe.
Dangerous loners are everywhere and usually come across as friendly members of your community. They can be simply doing DIY during the day and podcasting at night. The Dangerous Loner. They could also be running a well-known nightclub at the same time. Their cloven hoof is scraping behind you.
Wrenchy's Simon James has been training karate for over 32 years and teaching for 28. He knows through first-hand experience that martial arts can give you the stress release you've been looking for, as well as teaching life lessons and fitness, and of course, more importantly, peace. At Sama, we teach karate, kickboxing, tai chi and MMA to all ages, from children as young as four-year-olds to the very elderly, even Stu.
Rude. They can cater for all your needs, from just general fitness or a new hobby right the way through to a career in teaching martial arts. They run corporate training days for companies to have as team building exercises as well as local self-defense classes. They even teach a parent and baby self-defense course. That's defense whilst carrying your child, not defense against maniac murder babies. There is absolutely no defense against them. Be aware of that. Chris, where can people find out more about the Sama Academy?
Yes, you can find out everything you need over at sama-academy.co.uk. That's sama-academy.co.uk. And maybe you'll become a black belt just like me.
Hello, this is Chaz from Love Beer. And I'm here to tell you about why I sponsor Hardcore Listening and what love-beer.co.uk does. I am a fully certified by the British Beer and Pubs Association for bar installation with a focus on home and office bars. I have loads of home bar clients who have really enjoyed the service during lockdown, as well as corporate office clients like Facebook and HelloFresh. I offer a complete solution from installing the bar equipment right the way through to keg supply. I also offer regular maintenance packages for those who want a bar without all the hassle.
Hello, this is Charles, also from Love Beer. I just want to also let you know I'm fully licensed to sell kegs. We can supply loads of different products from mainstream beers and ciders right through to trendy craft beers and even Prosecco kegs, all delivered to your bar by a certified technician.
Also, why I'm here, have I mentioned the Land Rover Beeries 3, which is a 45-year-old ex-MOD Land Rover Series 3 that we have done a complete restoration on during lockdown?
The 3 Beeries 3 is a custom-built high-performance bar hidden in the back of a Land Rover. The bar we have installed is capable of doing upwards of 500 pints per hour. We're about 4 to 5 weeks off having it all back together and ready to show it off. And I'll be launching an Instagram for it this week.
Nice one, Charles.
Nice one.
Thank you very much, our spaffy sponsors. So, top fives. Today's top five. So you put it out on Facebook. What top fives should we do? And this is Georgie Pierce came up with this great one. Let me read it out. Top five bleak British films / series so that Stu can get his own back after having to talk about sci-fi, fantasy, crap horror films the other day. Thanks, Georgie.
Mm. Georgie's ace. Like,
bit rude.
Yeah. Oh well, she's now officially my new favourite listener.
God, Georgie, yeah. you don't want to know all that entails. when it comes to top five bleak series and film, I thought of also I'm slipping in some TV in there as well. British though. All right, basement British, bleak.
Well, sorry, wasn't the thing top five British films or TV?
It was films or / series.
Right, series, right.
Yeah, okay. But that could be TV.
You being rogue, slipping in TV series into one that's got series in the... Oh, fuck's sake,
it's crazy,
mate.
Isn't it? That's just how I roll. It's just Renegade. How I absolutely roll, mate. And actually, there's so many.
Mm.
There's so many across a variety of genres.
What? There's loads of like TV dramas.
Don't get smart with me, son. All right?
Yeah, okay.
Then you hate it when someone younger than you calls you son. It's annoying, isn't it?
That right? It's son's bad, right? what, boy?
Oh, don't. When you do it, it annoys me. It annoys
boy.
Me.
Boy. Being called boy, like, I find offensive anyway. If my dad calls me boy, not that he ever has, that's fine. But just someone going, oh, boy.
Yeah.
What's that, cunt?
Yeah. That was my nickname at a clothes shop, was boy.
Cunt. Oh.
Which was, and top cunt. So, all I needed was you working there as well. That really made my life
Day you turned up to work on acid, I so wish I was working. I would have took you to a different fucking universe that day.
Oh, no. Yeah. It was good. It was good crack. Good crack.
Yeah. It was brilliant when they like pulled my trousers and pants down. Like we was all cracking up.
I'm all cracking when they glazed me like a donut in Eastgate toilets. Oh, we were all proper cracking up.
You bloody lads, what you like?
The joke was on them because one of them couldn't finish on my face.
Yeah.
So,
what a loser!
I forgot that this is again the Acast version of Hardcore Listing.
Yeah,
so let's clear up our act. So, blooming heck, who's going first? Is it you or me? Who wants to go first?
I think it's me today.
Go on in, mate. Go on in. You dive in there.
Oh, this is tough. Right, so I've got TV dramas in there as well. I'm going to start with Fish Tank.
Oh, yeah, it's a real good one, that one.
I didn't know what to expect from that.
Mm.
I did. I knew it was going to be a bleak British drama, which is my go-to genre. And I think it's amazing that it's filmed where I live. That helps. Mm. Like, so much of it is filmed in Thurrock and... And from what I gather, the lead was spotted having an argument down her telephone on Tilby train station, which blows my mind. Fassbender, awesome. It's just a weird, for those that haven't seen it, I've not seen it for a long while, but if I recall... she lives with her mum on a council estate. Fassbender's her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of got aspirations to be a dancer of such, and he's clearly a fucking troubled child. And there's a kind of really horrible kind of predatory kind of relationship formed by Fassbender on his girlfriend's daughter. Which she obviously then starts to sort of fall a bit in love with him, and it's just grotty, and it ends with, I won't say much, but a scene with a baby and a river that you just think, oh my fucking life, is this going there?
Yeah.
And it's terrifying. And if we're going to kick things off in bleak style, that's bleak. Amazing.
It's really great. It is. It's incredible. It's a great movie. Great performances, and just goes, you know, tiny budget, but with an interesting narrative and good acting performances. You don't need that, do you? And the British do that very well. We've banged out loads of great movies in that sense. Director, can you remember? On Andrea Arnold.
Yeah,
budget 3 million, so nothing really.
Yeah,
I could have financed that.
The is it Kirsten Waring? Is the girlfriend, isn't it?
Yeah,
I'm sure that's her name.
I mean, I'm just looking on the internet now, so me agreeing with you is not from memory. Is it? Is it Katie Jarvis who, off the top of my head, plays Mia? Because just from the top of my head, was it? Did they get the Cannes Jury Prize and the BAFTA Award for Outstanding British Film? Or one of the other prizes here was more. No, sorry, that's a link. That one day, like on national TV, I really fucking hope someone trying to sound intelligent is going to
fucking
do that.
Hell. That is really funny. Oh dear. I just need to double check. Have you got the cast there? Is it Kirsten Waring?
No, you as well, mate. Yeah, Kirsten Waring.
Yeah, she's obviously in loads of British films. And yeah, she's great. Obviously, she's in another one of mine that I think is going to feature in my top five. But yeah, often seen in lots of the kind of gangster films as well. Yeah. She's, yeah, absolutely fantastic and brilliant in that. Yeah, Fish Tank, number five.
Oh, great shout, man. Great shout. My number five wasn't so much a TV series, but all turned out rather bleak and was on TV, was Jim Will Fix It. Just messing. It's not that. It's, but it is like one that it used to just freak me out as a kid. Casualty. Like, don't tell me that you hear that theme tune. I don't go, oh, I'm gonna watch a nice relaxing show now. Like, right, it's someone on life support. The theme tune is someone on life support. That's bleak enough.
I can't do the Casualty theme tune because I go boo 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 boo. And I go into the bill instantly.
Oh, yeah. No, like, that's great. That's because you could sort of like mouth mix and both. I like a little bit of mind DJ.
Do Casualty.
Right. And then you go into the bill. That's how you mix. If you're not as good a DJ as, say, DJ Destruction, that's how you mix.
Oh, okay.
Just with your mouth and your mind, mate. It's a lot easier.
Oh, all right.
I'm still mixing them now. They're still in time in my brain as well. They're not going out of time.
Is it still on, Casualty?
Oh, fuck knows. Because didn't they then turn it into, was it Holby City? Or are they linked? I don't know if there was a through plot or what, really. But it's always depressing as fuck. And mum and dad always watched it.
Yeah.
And like, you just like, it'll start and someone will be like, they'll be doing roadworks next to a busy motorway. And you think, well, I know what to expect in the next 5 minutes. And yeah, sure as, you know.
Did they do one that was a big like acid spill once?
Is that, like, that's RoboCop, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah, my bad. Yeah. I can't stop talking about sci-fi lately. but no, it was, I get you. Like, it was like, I remember when like Casualty first came out thinking it was really good. And like, I bet that's been on for fucking years, Casualty.
Yeah.
You're going to pull up some stats, see if you're still on.
Yeah, if you just, you know, say something intelligent for a couple of seconds, I'll figure out, I'll pull up some stats for myself.
All right, mate. What did you brush your hair with this morning?
Oh, well, that's where you're wrong, mate. I didn't...
A firework or a toffee apple?
Chewing gum. Oh, there's only been 36 fucking seasons. I wonder how many people have seen all 36. A lot of people have seen all 36 seasons of Casualty. There's no doubt about
that. I reckon that in every film we mention today, I reckon at least five actors that have been in them films would have been in an episode of Casualty as well.
Absolutely, mate. And do you know what? It's on today. Tonight, BBC One, 9:30. So it's still going, TV. Mate. Still going. Mm. Oh, what do you want to do? You know what? It's been a hard day at work. You know what I want to watch? I want to watch a TV program. In this week, someone's going to try and climb over a railing and fall on it, and they're going to impale their gonad on it. That's what I want to watch on Saturday night. Is are they going
if
to make it?
If I read
it?
That, I'd think, oh, I might get that.
Fucking would be like, pass. I don't want to watch people getting injured. And then they're being, you know, if that isn't hard enough, it's fucking it's the hospital work life admin side of the story as well. Like they've all got like shit lives, they're all overworked. It's basically just a documentary of the NHS and we still don't pay them enough. So yeah, I don't know what it's about. It stresses me out. It's bleak. I remember one episode just always stays in my memory. Some poor lad who became a rent boy, and then he shows up at a hospital and he's got blood in the back of his boxer shorts. And it's just like, oh, fucking hell, that's a lot to deal with on a Saturday night. Do you know what I mean? Fucking, oh, just bleak. Upsets me, mate. Don't know if I've got anything else to add. But yeah, you're right. Most of the actors that we're going to speak about in the movies probably...
If anyone else ever saw that episode, can you let us know? If not, I'm just dangerously worried that Chris is using that as a... as an opportunity just to discuss something that happened.
Cry for help from that. No, he'd been no. That episode, he'd been taking acid, and then he had to go to work
in a clothes shop. Have I told you? I'm sure I must have mentioned it on here the Jimmy Carr live thing when the guy had the heart attack in the crowd.
Go on, I can't quite remember this one.
So Jimmy Carr does like test his material in Grays every year, and the shows have been cursed. A, because they're in Grays, and like once the venue called Fire when he was on stage. There's a multitude of things. I don't even know if Pip Mayer touched on that when Jimmy was on his podcast, but someone had a heart attack. Jimmy had been on stage about 5 minutes, and someone had a heart attack in the crowd. About two rows in front of me, and it was like, oh fuck. God. And like, he was okay. But obviously, you know, he off the chair on the floor, and everyone's trying to deal with it. And ambulance turns up. Jimmy's literally standing nervously on, like, awkwardly on stage. And then the guy gets put in the ambulance, and obviously the show resumes. And in that time, as sinister as that is, I liked the fact that Jimmy was just thinking, somehow I need to thumb this into my routine. Yeah. And just come back with saying, wouldn't this have been the greatest opening scene to an episode of Casualty? I was just like, fucking yes.
That guy. I mean, he's brilliant. There's a Netflix. I think I said the other day, I watched one of his specials on Netflix. He's one of our best comedians. He really is an incredible comedian, that guy.
He's great, but don't go and watch the Inbetweeners movie and get sat in front of him.
Oh, God.
Right.
Well, you're Casualty. Number four. You're number four.
Yes.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's a sin.
Oh, how did I not even write that? That could be my number one, Stu. I think we should have to have some sort of punishment when someone gets one that the other one hasn't thought of like that. The weird thing is, as bleak as It's a Sin is, and it is like max level bleak, there's so much beauty in it as well, isn't there? In their relationships with each other. Oh mate, what an incredible choice.
It is fucking incredible. I rewatched it about 2 weeks ago.
How can you rewatch that? It hasn't even been a year since you watched it last. I don't have the emotional depth to take that on twice in a year, mate.
It just absolutely fucking destroyed me when I first saw it. And I was lucky. I had Gregory, who's oh, what's his other character's name in it? It's the actor's name.
He came on Off the Beaten Track, didn't he?
Yeah,
yeah, and, amazing.
And it was, and so I rewatched it again in preparation for that.
Yeah,
and it blew me away all over again. And I think Ollie Alexander, aka Years and Years, and like fucking hell, just remarkable. And oh god, Colin. I mean, fucking hell, who did not fall in love with Colin?
No. I can watch TV shows about gay, but I'm not gay, mate. All right, just want to make it very clear that I'm not gay. I ain't straight, but I ain't gay.
Yeah,
I ain't gay, but I ain't straight. That was a Theo Von stand up recently. I thought it was brilliant. No, he was amazing. Colin was just brilliant. His storyline was you're right. You couldn't help but fall in love with him,
and it was exciting, fun, and funny, really funny in places, and then. Like any good British drama, like literally the next minute you're just jaw is on the floor and it's like, oh my god! And you, and what's weird is knowing it's Russell T. Davies who wrote it, isn't it?
Yeah. He wrote Queer as Folk, which was really good as well.
And I just think because in advance that it's going to be about AIDS, in the 80s and early 90s and. You know that starts off so joyous.
Yep.
And you know that sooner or later it's going to really fucking turn.
It's absolutely that that parable, the guy who's fallen off a building and as he's passing each floor, people ask, are you okay? And he's like, so far, so good. But it's like, you know that isn't that isn't how that's going to work out, man, is it? Do you know what I mean? It's like, and you're like Colin, I don't know, there's so many tragedies in that. That just really tear jerking, man. Like how they portrayed Colin and
how he was treated, like in that hospital ward was just how it reminds you. You know, I'm not making any of this. You know, any of them kind of attitudes towards HIV and AIDS in the 80s. You know, right? But I remember just being, obviously, probably like 16 around then, and. I'm being terrified of like this word AIDS and seeing that advert, which obviously they showed, on there, the Don't Die of Ignorance and I don't even know if iconic's the right word, but it's, I remember seeing that and just thinking, oh my God, is this going to, are we all going to die of this? And like being absolutely petrified of it. And then to sort of see in hindsight, like, how these people that are dying like were being treated was just fucking harrowing
and the misinformation about it and
hugely, and
from everyone really and also a lot of misinformation, a lot of ignorance and a lot of like people wanting to be ignorant about it as well and like understandably so. I think how they sort of like how Ollie portrays the main character. Have I got his name right there? Is it Ollie?
Ollie's his real name.
Ollie's Alexander. Yeah, but I mean, his character, like, he's fucking so good in that, and just his journey and his sort of like how you see him navigating that through a lot of fear as well. It's stomach turning, it's heartbreaking, and I hopefully that sort of that story Russell's written, it gets out to a lot of people, and people can now look back and understand what the plight was of the gay community really, and that fucking awful disease and what it really did to people because it stripped them of everything.
And also, if you you said luck earlier, and one of the ways that if you was into it, the show and was moved by it, you can buy the luck t-shirts designed by Philip Normal, and you can get them. I think at the Terence Higgins Trust. I think the money goes to Terence Higgins Trust.
That's wicked, man!
If you go to Philip Normal's, Instagram, I'm sure there'll be a link there. And go and check out his artwork because it's amazing. Yeah, and. But yeah, what a show. Yeah, so that's my number four.
Oh, great shout, mate. Wonderful shout. My number four, Biker Grove. It's a great TV show. And then at the last minute, turns into someone getting blinded by paintballs. Had you all comfortable thinking it was about fingering girls down the bloody the back of the bike sheds, and then it goes
that
like,
didn't happen.
Right, so my actual number four, I'm going to go with a I'm going to slip a horror in there. I'm going to say there's two horrors, I guess, in mind, but I'm going to go with a Descent just to annoy Georgie Pierce. Georgie, I managed to get a horror in there that's science fiction. The Descent is like a really like a lovely.
Is that beautiful. English?
Yeah, it's English. Yeah, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. It's English horror. Hmm. I don't know if it's they're all English actresses. I think they fly out to do caving in America. I think it's in America. But it was an English. I'm sure it's an English horror film. There we go. Total guesswork. Let's back that up with some facts. Let's fact that up. The Descent is a 2005.
Chris.
Yeah, there we go. Neil Marshall. Yeah, exactly. Who did a British horror film? Yeah. So Neil Marshall's not fucking shy of bleakness. That's for sure. I thought it was really good. It's about a group of female friends who go on a go. They like a bit of their sort of like activities and they do caving and they decide to go caving. And one of the girls has basically sort of like found an unmarked and unexplored caving area, which is completely dangerous and you shouldn't do it. And certainly you shouldn't lead other people in there under the thought that it is a cave that's been explored before. And it turns out it hasn't. And then they get stuck down there and then things get real bad real quick. And there's some tension between a few of the women because one of them's had an affair with one of the other guys' partners and stuff like that. So, but there's a really good bond between them. And I think Neil tells that story in like under 90 minutes really well. So you actually care about these female characters. And then it just goes, there's things down in this cave that aren't very nice. I thought was excellently executed. Even the sort of monsters themselves, I thought they looked brilliant. I remember you saying that kind of was when it jumped the shark for you. But for me, I thought the whole thing was great. And then the ending is just like, it's just that, just beautifully like bleak because one of the girls, like, sorry if you haven't seen this, so just fast forward for the next minute, but one of the girls, main protagonist, I guess, you think she's going to get out and she crawls up and crawls out of the hole and then you realise that it's a fantasy in her head because she's gone catatonic because of the stress that she's under and she actually hasn't crawled out of it. I thought that was really good. Nice, bleak, horrible way to end it. I loved it. It's a nice, good, simple horror film, really. It ages a bit on rewatches because I think there's quite a few jump horrors in there. But your first watch of it, you know, watch it on a big screen late at night, preferably on your own, and you'll give yourself the heebie-jeebies. And yeah, but it's bleak as fuck.
What am I going to go for? Quadrophenia.
See, that's it. So there's no comments on that movie. You're just going to move straight past it and go to Quadrophenia. Okay, all right. Well,
my thoughts on The Descent are the same as what they were a couple of weeks ago, which is I really loved it. I thought it was really creepy. The shadows in the background were terrifying. Anything underground freaks me out. But then when you see the monster, I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. I think if it would have just been like, I don't know, Francis Begbie just come out and like, then I would have been terrified.
Yeah, okay.
But it's just a monster.
Oh, it was great. It was really good. Okay, mate. Well, you've gone to Quadrophenia. That is,
yes.
Yeah, it's pretty bleak.
It's really fucking bleak. It's about Quadrophenia.
Yeah, it's pretty bleak.
I mean, it's a pretty bleak topic and, you know, how can you make schizophrenia more bleak? Well, it's left Quadrophenia. Probably one of the earliest films I think that had a huge emotional impact on me. It excited me because of the the music and the fashion and the fact that, you know, as a teenager you're watching this like youth movement, you know, the mod culture that just looked really brilliant. You're seeing so many actors that are going to feature in, you know, you're seeing Phil Daniels, Ray Winston, you know, Mark Wingett, all of these people that have been in, you know, amazing British, you know, movies over the years, which again, I'm sure we'll get onto, but it just blew me away, that film. And it still to this day blows me away. Obviously it's a Who film, who have made some remarkable British films, yeah. Whether it be Tommy McVicar, mm-hmm. Nearly made my top five. Quadrophenia, I just think it's an absolute iconic film. It really moves me when you see, you know, Jimmy just likes to think that he's an individual, but he's so desperate to be part of this gang and be, you know, a face within this gang, and then you see him spiral into, you know, ill mental health, to the point where, you know, he's kind of shunned by, he's starting to really blur the reality from a good weekend away of his mates into something far more serious, and
it
can't.
It falls apart, doesn't it? Like his life
completely falls apart.
The pillars of his life fall apart. His misses, you know, and even his idols, doesn't it? Like who they actually are compared to. Yeah. Who he thinks they are. They all sort of like aren't as core or as great or what they build
completely
them up to be.
So. Like, you know, Leslie Ash as a young man, like she was, you know, as a young teenager, she was just so amazing. And then, you know, you do, as you say, as you mentioned there, Chris, like Sting as the ace face, you know, is the coolest guy, you know, in the club. And then Jimmy goes to Brighton and sees that Sting's a bellboy. It's like, oh. And then obviously, you know, he's out of his brain on the train on the 5:15, and then before you know it, he's at the White Cliffs of Dover, and it's amazing, absolutely amazing film, and there's so many scenes in that that I think are really horrible and gritty and scored so amazingly by The Who. So Quadrophenia,
very good shout. What was that? Was that your number three?
It's a Sin.
That was your
Fish
four.
Tank.
That was your three, wasn't it? So I'm gonna, my number three, I'm gonna go with Harry Brown.
Oh, good shout. I forgot about that.
Harry Brown is fucking horrible, really, when you think about it. It's got Plan B in it, playing a piece of shit. And
he's really good at playing a piece of shit.
He's great at playing a piece of shit, actually. Good big shout out to Plan B. It follows Michael Caine as an old chap. I always got a soft spot for the elderly, for it being a bit more vulnerable. But he can still look after himself, Michael Caine, in this film. But he's in a situation where the poverty has sort of like swallowed his neighbourhood, hasn't it, basically?
Yeah.
And a lack of moral principles has now also met that sort of lack of sort of like support from the government to create just a place where vile people do vile things. And he tries to seek out some rough justice for a few world-class turds.
And it's for the ending of his mate, isn't it? Yeah. What's his name? David Bradley, obviously. He's in... Afterlife and such.
Yeah. It is. That's what he goes to do. It's also got another great actor who was in 72, the one about the IRA, and starred up, the young actor.
Is he in Harry Brown?
He is, yeah. He plays...
Jack O'Connell?
Yeah, Jack O'Connell. Jack O'Connell's got a very small role in it. And Jack's not having a great time, that's for sure. And he's one of the like lads who gets a bit bullied. And... mate, it's nasty. And there's the worst scene is this, for me. There's a scene where Harry goes, finds himself at a sort of like this bloke who's been who's a drug dealer, and he grows a lot of weed.
Sean Harris, one of a fucking incredible actor.
He's a great actor, and but it also Sean sort of like leans into the fact that he's got quite a unique look, and Sean can, because actually Sean was in a horror film not that long ago called Possum, which was brilliant, directed by Garth Marenghi himself. And that's horrible. It's really nasty. And
shout out to him in other English films. Ian Curtis in 24 Hour Party People is is amazing in that. And he portrayed Ian Huntley alongside Maxine Peake's Myra Hindley. He's a fucking amazing actor.
Yeah. Yeah, and he plays a scumbag in that, but he is like five stars. Wouldn't want to meet this guy ever. And like he's got some girl doped up on the sofa. He's been filming shagging and stuff. I feel awful saying that. My mum's in the next room, and it's horrible. It's a really great. I remember watching that scene. My fucking stomach was turning.
The best bit about that film as well is when she's laying there and he's talking.
Best
and
bit.
He's all calm.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just like, yeah. And then it's like this, Sheila.
Yeah.
And he just screams, and it just transforms the whole scene, because it's just very horrible, dank and quiet and intense, and then he just screams at her, and it's you pick the best scene in that film.
It's horrible.
Fucking horrible.
It's very well done. It's like textbook bleak. And yeah, and like there's other bits like towards the end where things get worse for Harry, and you realise that it's not just these youngsters who are the problem, it's the foundations of where they've come from, and that. It just gets dark. Yeah, that's it. Harry Brown. Watch it. It's worth a watch, guys, if you haven't seen it.
Really is. Shout out to Charlie Creed Miles as well, as the copper. And obviously, you know, the landlord, I can't remember what the actor's name is, he plays the landlord. And it's lots of twists in it that, you know, and it don't get happier. But that's a great shout, Harry Brown.
Cheers, mate.
Number
two.
Neil Barmouth.
Yeah, I held that one back because I figured that you might pick that bad boy.
I just think, yeah, it's fucking hard work, man. Like, I'm gonna shout out to Mike Leigh's Naked. A film that's shot
yes.
dark.
I haven't seen. I haven't watched Naked. I was reading up about it this morning, actually.
Oh, that's a hard watch. That is.
Yeah.
And it's shot so dimly, as is Neil by Mouth.
Yeah.
Made by Gary Oldman. Obviously got his sister in it, Layla Morse, Big Mo. Okay, shout out Big Mo. But obviously Ray Winston, he's fucking great in it, but obviously Kathy Burke steals the show in that film. Like, just unbelievable. I think it's Charlie Creed Miles, he's Ray's son in that as well, I believe.
I didn't know that.
Kathy Burke's son, who's obviously the strung out heroin addict. And yeah, just Ray Winston's character is fucking disgusting. In every possible way, you know, he's just a broken, fucking pathetic man that, you know, seems to kind of try and find some kind of, I don't know, some kind of character and some kind of purpose by just being a fucking geezer and drinking. And then, you know, his own insecurities generally involve him having to beat up his missus. There's a lovely scene with, what's his best mate's name? He's the son of the gangster, isn't he? What's his name?
I can't remember his name, mate.
What is his name?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Yeah, it is. Let me just pull this up here.
Steven Seagal?
Wasn't Steven Seagal. Jamie Foreman. Freddie Foreman's son. Yeah, and the scene where basically Kathy Burke has gone to has left him, and there's just an incredibly brilliant scene where Ray and Jamie Foreman pull up to go and grab her back, and as Ray walks over there, the brother-in-law just plonks Ray on his ass, and it's just a lovely little bit of justice, and it's just brilliant. Some of the scenes when they're just like, just fucking hell. I wish Kathy Burke made more drama and more film, because she's fucking amazing in that film. And it's one of them ones, you know, I've watched it a few times, and when you know that scene where, you know, he assaults her is coming, fucking hell. And just the fact that when she comes down the next day and her face is just black and blue, and her mum is just like, oh my god, and like, but it's a level of shock that isn't also surprise. It's like, it's that kind of weird acceptance that's kind of their life, and like, and you know, you'll have a bit of a rough ride with it for a while, then we'll put it behind us. And it's just that horrible kind of thing that you just think, they're never going to get out of this. Like, you need to get out of this. And it's like, there's a kind of claustrophobia to that that's just fucking heart-wrenching. And, oh, yeah. Like, and you know, Ray Winston's made some, you know, a lot of amazing British films. But for me, like, Kathy Burke in that is one of the greatest fucking performances ever in British drama. Yeah.
Good shout,
Nil
man.
By Mouth. And if you ain't watched it, then I wouldn't bother. It's fucking horrible. It's really fucking horrible.
Yeah. Well, I watched a film the other not that long ago, which was incredible, and also I'm never watching it again.
The Incredibles,
Uncut Gems. Fucking hell! Do not watch that if you've got anxiety problems. I went to bed and thought, I'll pop this on as I go to sleep. That's honestly, I can't believe I did that. My feet were sweating. Feet were sweating. I had a stomachache. After about 30 minutes of it, I was like, and it's 2 hours long. It's Adam Sandler playing a serious role. Oh my god, it's stressful. Have you watched it?
No,
I don't know.
But I've heard it's really good.
I don't know if you should bother. It is really good, but it is designed to be unendingly stressful. Like, there's always three or four things going on at once in this guy's life, and it's constantly falling apart. And it's just fucking hell. It's hard watch. Anyway, but we're doing UK.
Does he get angry with a golf club?
No, not really. So. He might threaten someone with one.
Oh, right.
But wicked. I think it's about it. So we're sticking to UK ones. I can't go without giving my number two. It's kind of a joint one, because these are two movies that were super bleak as a kid. Had them both on VHS. I don't know why. Older Chris would have gone like, don't bother. Even though they are good. But equal place for me is Scum and ID. Because they're just bloody horrible.
Trending on Netflix at the moment, ID 2.
What? It's not a follow-up.
I saw somebody post it yesterday, and then I see a barrage of people just saying, oh my god, this is the worst thing ever.
Like, is it actually a follow-up from ID? Are you joking?
Well, like, I don't know too much about it, but I saw someone post about it yesterday, and I see that it's trending on Netflix.
Reese Dinsdale, Sean Pertwee. So
they're not both in it. Have you pulled it up there?
I just pulled up the original. I'm just wondering, are they in it? Oh my god! And now it's got ID 2 come up. It looks like their little faces on the thing that I can see. Maybe they are in this one. Well, anyway, ID. I want to give a bit more focus to ID, because I think we've discussed Scum and Ray Winston quite a lot, but But ID was basically about the infiltration into football hooliganism, isn't it, basically?
Shabwell Army.
Oh, God. And like, it's just like that obviously, it focuses more about Reese Dinsdale, the actor, sort of like his decline into losing the sense of his own identity as a copper. And I guess we've seen this a lot of times now in movies, but this was relatively old. I'm not saying it hadn't been done a lot before that, but when was it? 95, yeah. But for me, as a mid-teen, I hadn't seen a lot of the sort of like that, where people blur the lines between them thinking they're doing the right thing and then becoming an absolute shitbag. But ID was just like, was that film, basically. And there's the odd funny bit. But when I mean the light humour in ID is when a person with learning difficulties gets a dart thrown into their head. Like when you're like, when that's the bit you're like, oh, do you remember that bit? Like the rest of the film's got to be bleak if that's the comedy relief in it. Yeah, it's just a tough watch. Directed Phil Davis, and yeah, just the
who's from Grays.
Oh well, there we go. What was
Phil
that?
Davis. Just, do you know who Phil Davis is?
I thought he was a MMA star, to be honest with you.
Phil Davis is an actor. Phil Davis probably the first notable role would have been Quadrophenia.
Ah, circle is complete.
Great actor.
Yeah. Did he direct any other things?
I don't know. He's been in lots and lots of TV.
Yeah. Midnight of My Life. He's done Vera Drake. Alien 3. Oh, he was a character in Alien. Like you say, yeah, he's been in quite a few films, but yes, I mean, fucking absolutely horrible.
Straight out of Grays. Straight out of Grays.
Well, no wonder he's good at writing bleak shit. Right, what's your number one then?
Well, just a quick shout. Oh, hang on. Is your number one a horror? Oh, right, okay. So, an honourable mention while we're talking about people from where I live. Martina Cole. shout out to Martina Cole from where I live. Chooses to write about the people in my area, and probably could have made my top five. Would have been The Take.
Yeah, brilliant.
Like, do you want to do a quick impression? You always do it.
Hello, Maggie. Hello, Maggie.
There we go. Yeah, I mean, fucking shout out to The Take, and yeah, Martina Cole. Fucking hell, write about what you know. If you live in Grays, write about what you know, yeah. And you'll do all right.
Great TV show. That if you're looking for a TV show you might not have seen before, that's a great little one for a Sunday watch, isn't it? Oh,
yeah, fucking horrible.
Oh, yeah, it's grim.
Again, Kirsten Waring plays his wife.
Oh, yeah. Tom Hardy, one of his first. That's the first thing I saw him in. Where I went, wow, that guy is incredible. So, shit, I think I'm going to have to rewatch that.
Yeah. Yeah, I do own that on DVD. I have watched that a few times. It's really fucking good to take. But that's not my number one. Obviously, my number one is This Is England.
Yes, interesting.
Because it's one of the best bleak British films, and it's definitely one of the most... it's definitely the best bleak British television drama of all time. Pippi King's done his top five dramas. I put it up on his socials the other day, and I was quite surprised that didn't feature. But
maybe,
I know he's a fan.
The thing with This Is England, and the reason why I didn't pick it, is it almost transcends bleakness and everything. It's so good. I just almost put that in a category of its own. It's well deserved as a number one, Stu. It really is. There's just so much.
It's the best television show ever made. Yeah, I really do honestly think that.
I don't know if I can disagree with that, Stu, to be fair.
I've watched it so much. Like I try not to watch a film that much. I that scene with Stephen Graham... and Milky.
What, in the cafe?
In the film.
The
violence at the end of the film. Like, and Turgoose in that, he's in that scene, just fucking hell. Like, I can't watch that film that much, and I don't want to spoil that film, but that scene I find really difficult to watch. Like, just the simmering as he's almost prowling in the room before he just sets upon Milky. He's fucking terrifying. And again, you know, Stephen Graham, fucking hell, shout out to The Help. That just narrowly missed out on my top five. Mm. Just one of the best. He's, you know, fucking incredible. And just this thing, there's so many scenes, you know, and look at the cast, like Gilgan is fucking remarkable. Woody is, you know, lol, every Turtle Goose, every character in it. It's
brilliant characterisation and acting.
Fucking amazing.
And I think Shane Meadows, it is the key to success, is take your time casting. Cast correctly. Yeah.
And like, and yeah, I had Joe Hartley on, who plays Sean's mum, on Off the Beaten Track, and she was saying that she was friends with Shane, and she was, when they were trying to cast Sean, she said we went everywhere. The film was ready to shoot, and they didn't have a Sean, they didn't have a lead, and they just said, look, because she wasn't even planning to play, Sean's mum, and she was just helping him out, like do some reads and that with the cast. And then basically the connection, when they heard about this kid up north, they both literally jumped in the car, went up there and done the read, and it was like, well, there's the Sean, and you've got to be that role. And like, yes. And it's like Thomas Turgoose in This Is England, fucking it's amazing, incredible. But yeah, there's to touch on a couple of scenes that fucking ruin me. There's just the scene where Woody goes to the hospital when he thinks Lowell's took her life, and then he sort of dicks around and kind of limps into the room and sort of sits there, and then like basically I'm getting emotional thinking about it. Mm. And then he sort of says, I'll just, you know, put your head on my chest like you used to, and like, oh fucking hell.
Oh shit.
Yeah, blows me away that. And there's just so many the scene, and when that basically like Woody and Lowell decide to tell the family about the fact that she killed Johnny Harris's character, not Stephen Graham. And to know that so much of that was improv, and that scene, every single character, yeah. Turgoose don't say a word, but his face and his acting's fucking amazing. And Kelly, like, Shane Meadows has literally founded some fucking heavyweight talent.
That might be the best scene in British history. That. Like, I honestly could put that. It's in my top five and arguably my number one. That like them around the table discussing that. It's insane. It's so good.
I had Helen Behan on as well, and she plays the nurse that Lowell confides in, and she's in that scene, and she's sitting around that table, and I said, like, how do you prepare for that? And it was just basically like, they just get lost in it, I just can't imagine how good an actor you need to be to immerse yourself in that scene. And with all of them other people around that table, you've got to hold your own.
Yeah.
And they all do. Yeah, and there's not a weak link there. It's just so consistent. Brilliant. I can't say enough amazing things about that TV show. I've watched it a million times. And don't get me wrong, for every fucking heart-wrenching, fucking poignant grit, there's something equally funny and hilarious, like sniff-banging, you know, when them two lads have got that woman while sniffing that little bit of drawer with the triangle from the pool cue over his eyes so he can't watch. He's fucking brilliant. Like, there's so much, you know, brilliant comedy in it as well. It's like, it's a perfect show.
It's a perfect show.
What's your number one?
Go on, tell me what my number one is.
Grand Jewel.
No, do you know? Can you guess? Wow, 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 wow.
Dog Soldiers.
No, close. Eden Lake.
Eden Lake. Oh, shout out Turgoose.
Yeah, exactly. Tom Turgoose. Why is that lad's acting name Jack O'Donnell keep escaping me when I think he's such a great actor? Fassbender.
Connell.
Jack O'Connell, sorry. O'Donnell. Fucking hell. What is wrong with me?
Ronald O'Donnell.
That's close enough, mate. He wouldn't be offended.
Ain't bad for you.
Hey, sorry, Jack, if you're listening. Don't stick a tire over me, Ed. Is all I'm going to say. I mean, like, yeah, it's just what's great about Eden Lake is that it's I feel like it's a little bit classist in a way. It's a little bit like it does play on sort of like some stereotypes of some of the working class. But I do think it works in a sense as well. And but it's awful. It's like a couple literally just go to do a bit of holiday making and find themselves in a situation where they're sort of terrorised by some of the sort of guys that we take the piss out of on this show. You'd find them walking down the high street with their hands down their tracksuit bottoms, down the front of their tracksuit bottoms, effectively.
Mm.
And kind of really a more of a deeper insight into worst case scenario and how that could absolutely spiral out of control for Fassbender, trying to, you know, maybe stand up for what he thinks is right and stand up for his missus and just seeing where that goes and actually how sick this particular group of people are. And yeah, again, a bit like Harry Brown, showing you a little bit like how that sort of person can come to be, depending on their own family network and stuff like that. It's just fucking horrible, mate. It's a great horror film. I love the fact that it's cheap, it's easily executed, again with Fassbender in there. So just get some great actors and you don't have to spend so much money. And I don't know, there's loads of scenes to pick from. I mean, you know, Stanley Bates are involved in it. There's they exploit someone with learning difficulties and there's a burning tire scene as well. And I don't know, it's just like you feel like you could be there, and what would you do if you got stuck in that situation? And yeah, it's ultimate bleak, and they go bleak. It's bleak horror edition, yeah. UK bleak horror edition. There's another film to shout out actually, which I don't know if you've seen this, but I think our buddy Aaron knows the directors of this one, and I think Pip might have had them on his podcast. But have you seen Calibre?
Yes.
And Calibre's like kind of like, again, it's this whole thing of you can make a horror without having monsters in it. You can literally just go...
Is that where they shoot someone in the woods?
It's basically an accident. All I'll say is there's two guys are going hunting and there's an accidental shooting.
It's really good, that film.
It's really good. And it's like, the reason why I feel it falls into the category of horror, I'm not sure if it is. I've genuinely not looked this up, but it feels like... That's what horror is. That's what a true horror situation for the average human person is that they're in a secluded area and there's an accident, and they make a decision on the accident which is questionable, but isn't beyond the realms of any one of us making that decision at that moment in time out of fear.
Yeah.
But that decision has consequences that start to again spiral and spiral and spiral, and they are in a place where they're secluded, surrounded by people who are not happy and who also aren't, you know,
it's claustrophobic, that film.
Yeah, it's very claustrophobic, even though it's shot in open, a lot of it's open ground. It's very claustrophobic, man. My number one was Eden Lake, but we spoke about Eden Lake a few times on this programme, so I wanted to just shed some light on Calibre. It's definitely, again, another moody, bleak British, British horror edition, I'd say that is.
I mean, I've got so many honourable mentions.
Yeah, go
Chris.
On, man. Go
and
on.
Like, and as I was thinking, I've realised one that would definitely have made my five that I'd forgotten about, which is the Tony Pitts film, Funny Car.
I haven't seen that. I've not even heard of it, I don't think.
It's written by Tony Pitts, stars Tony Pitts, Maxine Peake, Paddy Considine. How many Paddy films should I make? Fuck!
I know.
I've forgotten about.
I know. I'm so
Dead
surprised.
Dead Man's Shoes. Fucking hell.
Yeah. The thing is, I've got Dead Man's Shoes down here, and I've got a few others that I thought that you might. For example, Journeyman. I'm surprised you. I'm too scared to watch Journeyman. The other one that's on mine that I still haven't watched that I've got is Pip's DVD. I just didn't give it back to him because I don't think he should have it back because it's too sad and depressing. Tyrannosaur. I still haven't watched that.
Tyrannosaur, I've got it was my number six on my list.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is. What's his name? Peter Mullen, who's in that, is also in. I mean, we could do top five Ken Loach films because.
Yeah, absolutely.
Daniel Blake is off the fucking scale. Mm-hmm. And Peter Mullen in the other Ken Loach film, My Name is Joe. Mullen playing an alcoholic, which he does, so amazingly in a recovering alcoholic in Tyrannosaur. Fucking hell, Ken Loach, fuck me. Sorry We Missed You. These films, they're weighty films. Kez. Kez, what a fucking film that is. Kathy Come Home, all of that. I mean, these are my films that I have to go and watch in a room on my own because I know I'm going to be just fucking sobbing. I don't want the kids to see me just fucking bawling at films. But yeah, Funny Cat is a fucking amazing film, which kind of, come out, got amazing reviews, but didn't necessarily have huge commercial success. And it's basically about Maxine Peake. Stephen Graham plays Maxine Peake's dad when she's a kid, who's a violent dad, alcoholic. And Maxine Peake grows up in this northern town, super sharp-witted, and gets into stand-up. Her husband, Tony Pitts, is a violent husband, and Maxine Peake's career into going on stage in the working men's clubs in the 70s, in these northern working men's clubs. She's fucking remarkable. And Three Girls with Maxine Peake and Molly Windsor. There's so many fucking amazing films.
You're just listening to all these is depressing the shit out of me.
It really is fucking bleak. There's so many. But I'll tell you what, I know I've said it before, but just fucking watch Journeyman because it will fucking blow your socks off. I know you said it's the one that I had on here, Sorry We Missed You, was the one that I just thought, after I watched Daniel Blake, I just thought, I don't know if I'm ready for this. I don't know if I'm ready for another Ken Loach film. And I put it off for so long just thinking, I just don't think I can deal with it because it's never going to have an happy ending. And I know that at the end I'm just going to be, hell.
Yeah.
If every film ended with you in the toilets in the Tangate Centre in Basildon being glazed like a fucking donut, then I'd watch it all day long.
Let's write that script and send it to Ken Loach.
It's a drunken soiree in the Within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.